When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hello and welcome to Brett's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Hello, I'm Brett.
Oh, nice to see you, Brett. Oh, before we came on, you were in a silhouette.
Like, I was.
Like you are.
A witness to a crime, and I didn't want it to be identified.
Unfortunately, your voice wasn't distorted as well. I don't think they need to do both of those things. But if you can see the face, there's definitely no point in distorting the voice.
Remember, we did do a podcast once where I accidentally changed my voice, didn't I? And I couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
That was at the start, wasn't it? I didn't do that. I always like when you can blatantly see their faces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether they shouldn't even bother.
Yeah.
Whether they've obviously got, I'll do it. I'll do it as long as, you know, I'm not identified
like
at all.
Just they go, pulled the curtain oh, don't over worry. A bit.
Yeah. Don't worry, we will. And you can, if you knew that person, you'd know exactly who they were.
It's not dark in this room. I'll just pull the curtain over a bit. It's all right. The sun's going down. It'll be all right.
It'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine.
Are you the sauce tonight, Brett?
I've got my cider in that. I've got my cider. So,
what kind is it today? High Downs or something?
It's the Summersby. Simply Summersby.
A real brand this week.
Is it a real brand? I don't know.
I think so.
It's a nice one. What are you drinking?
I've got the San Miguel, the Filipino San Miguel, but not the light version. I got a Creative Each. We're going to see what the difference is.
What's the difference?
Well, light is nicer, I'm going to say.
Has it got less calories in the light?
Is that why it's
called light?
I think it's got less calories in, but I'm not sure. It's still like 5%, but I think it must be less calories. Uh-huh. Just light in colour.
Oh, it's just a lie.
What have you been up to in the last 10 days?
I've been watching quite a bit of stuff. You too. One of the things that I've been watching was on your recommendation.
Okay.
And it wasn't sent apart in monthly. Not this week.
Oh, really?
It was that True Detective thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? First episode. Wow. Fantastic. This is going to be brilliant. It's like The Thing. There's loads of Thing references in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Thing DVDs in the background. People's names are from The Thing. Yeah, the Beatles are in there. All kinds of stuff. But boy, does it take a nosedive after
first
episode. Jesus Christ.
Have you watched it all?
Unfortunately, I have. I didn't want to watch the last episode, but the wife made us watch it.
I think after the fifth one, I was like, I don't really know what's happened over the last few episodes of this, but now I need to watch the end.
Yeah, but nothing was explained. It was so ridiculous. It was unbelievable.
You know what I don't like about this show?
What?
It's about the supernatural, but it's not about the supernatural.
No, it's not. But they didn't even bother explaining any of the supernatural stuff away. Like there was a huge skeleton in the ceiling.
A huge dinosaur skeleton that the pattern comes from.
Yeah. People were seeing dead people. Nah, we'll not bother explaining that. Yeah. Plus, if anybody's listening, if anybody's listening and wants to watch it, don't anyway. But this is basically what happens. A group of women tell these fellas to just go run out in the freezing cold and they die. And the two coppers go, fair enough.
We won't tell.
But yeah, women, we'll let you off. It's so ridiculous. I was furious.
When that woman started explaining that, the cleaner woman or whoever she was,
mm-hmm.
who had been in it, they kept doing these little flashbacks as if, oh shit, I can't believe I missed that. And then I was like, no, in the first episode, for 10 seconds, she was in it. And
she was in it for 10 seconds. There was one bit of a giveaway, like, because when they were talking in one scene, one of the cleaners walked away with, like, face. It was really bad. I'll tell you what, I'll never watch that program ever again.
Well, it's just been renewed for a fifth series by the same director.
Insane.
Because that's the most watched series ever. But the first episode, I thought it was going to be amazing.
The first episode was excellent. It was really, really good. And then, I mean, I think it was the third one. No, absolutely nothing happened in the whole hour.
Yeah,
nothing.
That policeman who had the Russian bride—that was obviously a scam.
Yeah, that wasn't talking about it again, was it?
Totally pointless.
Totally pointless. What was all that?
Then
about?
He played a guitar and sang a Mark Lanigan song.
Yeah, and then his son shot him. And
wasn't bothered.
The coppers just covered it over. Yeah, and just chuck him in the ice.
The sun
wasn't. Tell you what you should do. Chuck him in the ice.
And the Eskimo lass was, because Jodie Foster was like, oh, you'd probably be a bit gutted about that, will you? And the Eskimo lass was like, don't be stupid, man. Just clean it up. We've got to go and have a look in a cave.
It doesn't matter. That's your dad.
He wasn't bothered.
You just shot him in the face. No, he wasn't bothered at all. It was honestly one of the worst things I think I've ever watched.
I know it went just madness, didn't it? But I thought Jodie Foster was good in it. I thought Chris mm-hmm. Eccleston was good in it.
I didn't need to see his ass.
I know. It was funny him talking American accent as well. I couldn't get my head around it. So it wasn't like computing. Anyway, so yeah, I watched the end of that as well because I was off a couple of days at the beginning of the week because I was away in Saudi last week. So I had a couple of days off. Mm-hmm. I watched The Iron Claw, the wrestling film.
Oh, I'll watch that as well. That's one of mine that I watched, yes. It's very good.
Serendipitous, isn't it? Yeah, I thought it was good.
It's really good.
Not the whole story about it.
If there's anybody that's going to be playing He-Man in the future, it's got to be that Zac Efron.
He's a new man.
He is? I don't really like Zac Efron, but I think he's quite good in that film.
His body is
the weirdest shape. It is, you know, like
well,
that
face changed,
with
it?
He-Man and Skeletor where they've got the suits on. That's what he looks like. Like he's got a suit on.
But his face has changed and his neck, hasn't it? And apparently he had some kind of procedure and it just ended up making his jaw massive.
Did he not request it?
But I think it was the opposite of what was meant to happen. He had some kind of thing that needed some surgery. And it ended up with his.
So he wanted a smaller jaw, and he's come out with a.
He had a smaller
bigger jaw.
I think I don't know. Anyway, something about
I've come here and I asked you for a smaller jaw. We thought you meant a massive jaw.
Yeah, because your jaw was already quite small, so we thought you said that, but we just assumed you said the wrong thing.
You must have got it wrong.
So I think what was funny about that was the one who was playing the guitar, who then. Was killed himself.
Yeah.
I mean, they all die. That's not a surprise.
Hey, there's lots of spoilers in this episode. If anybody hasn't seen this,
everybody knows that they all die, right?
I don't know.
So he ended up in the ring.
Almost forced.
In real life, he was still big and muscly. Like in this, to make him look like he's like a country singer.
Was he?
He was a guitar. He did play the guitar and stuff, but he was still a big, like, muscly lad in real life.
Yeah.
The guy that from The Bear, the chef who plays the Texas Tornado.
Is that the one that looks like Gene Wilder with muscles?
Yes. Yeah. But he obviously got muscles for it, but not the body shape for it, I would say. He looked quite odd, didn't he? Like, not
he did
like
look quite odd. Is there someone behind you, Cliff?
I won't say that, man. Fucking hell.
I thought there was. Yeah. I thought I saw something
washing in that. Jane's in there. I've got the door open, so you can probably see a bit more of Jane's pottering around.
All right, okay.
But there was also, like, another brother that just isn't in the film. Another one.
Oh, what's that? Another,
one who died. And the director was just like,
did you just think that's too much?
I thought there was already enough people dying.
Yeah, but surely another one would, you know, that's odd that they didn't add him in. Was he a wrestler as well, was he?
There was one more who was also a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And they basically amalgamated two of the stories to make, like, two storylines.
I hate it when they do that.
But it's a real thing, so I don't know why they wouldn't do it. Like,
I know, that's taking liberties, that. I don't like that.
It's good, though, isn't it? Like, it is good. It was good. It's not that much about wrestling, is it? It's all about this family tragedy and...
Yeah, it's about the curse of this family.
Yeah, it's and parental pressure.
Overpowering father, yes.
And mom as well, I thought the mom. I really liked her, that place.
Yeah, she was good, but she was just... She kind of let everything go. I think she was a little bit frightened of the dad as well, wasn't she?
Yeah. But then she was a bit unsympathetic, I think, to a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, definitely. She definitely was.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought that was really good. I'm sure I watched something else, but I feel like...
Oh, I did. I watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
I started watching that and it was quiet. I couldn't hear what they were saying and that, so I just turned it off.
Oh, you know, you've got a volume button. You can turn things up.
I know,
yourself.
But my ears were low, so I couldn't work it out.
I enjoyed it, I thought it was good. Robert De Niro was amazing in it.
It's long.
Absolutely class.
It's long.
It is. It was long. It was long, but I don't mind that. I don't mind
I know. I was watching it home. I think that's the point, right? You can be long.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the pictures with Pearl. I took her to see Dogs at the Opera.
Dogs at the Opera.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I've never heard that film before.
No, it's awful. And I thought it was a sequel to Cats at the Museum that we went to see a year ago. And I'm not
right.
I'm not even joking, man. It wasn't a sequel. It was from the same production house or whatever. Not a sequel, just separate, unless it's like an anthology series, like from the same universe.
Cats in bomber jackets.
It was absolutely terrible. Pearl asked to leave. It was that bad.
Did you? Well,
yeah. So it's a kids' film. It's about these dogs. One who was a dog in a circus that now lives on the streets and has to like survive on his wits and that. But
right.
he takes pity on the other dogs because he's a bit smarter and he can get away with stuff. And it starts with him trying to steal some sausages from a butcher shop and the butcher going, I'll turn you into sausages, and trying to kill them. Then they escape that, but the city sets dog catchers on them. And then the dog catcher's going, if I catch you, I'll kill a lot of you. So not that suitable for small children.
It was quite a harsh peril.
And then I kept nodding off because I was so tired. I've been absolutely knackered. And I kept nodding off. And Pearl was just kind of cuddling into us because she was a bit scared of that. So we were both just like, and it's a kids' cinema, so like big beanbag sofa thing. So we were both just kind of lying. And as she was cuddling in, I was like nodding off a bit. And I woke up and they were conducting a seance to try and raise the spirit of Queen Elizabeth I. Oh. Very odd. And then
Pearl
went,
sounds strange,
I don't really like this, Daddy. Can we go? And I was like, yeah.
We most certainly can. You only go for the hot dogs, Cliff, anyway.
I had popcorn, actually.
Do you not have a hot dog? Hey, I do have a weakness for cinema hot dogs, I must admit. Yeah.
Well, when I was when I worked at the cinema, obviously they had this rule when you worked there that if anything was open, obviously you couldn't sell them. Any of the bags of sweets and that. So obviously we just used to open the sweets and be like, oh, that one's open. And the other rule was, obviously, if anything falls on the floor, you can't sell them. So I just used to eat loads of hot dogs off the floor.
Oh, look, there's another one on the floor.
Slap it down. No bun, just the sausage.
Oh, if anybody did drop a hot dog, would just shout, Cliff!
Cliff, one for you!
We've got another one for you.
So, yeah, I think you're having me on.
How many hot dogs do you think? What's the most hot dog cinema hot dogs that you've eaten one sitting, do you think, Cliff?
Oh, no more than what I mean, sitting, just one.
Yeah, like, I mean, then like one evening, let's say.
Oh, just at work?
One. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would just have one. I can't have more than that.
Can't have more than one?
I don't need more than one.
I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to say like seven hot dogs.
Oh, no, man. Don't be daft.
Oh, no, man. Very disappointed, yeah. I really am.
So the other thing I watched, obviously, was Cape Fear, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
The 1962 version. We were going to watch the Scorsese, but I couldn't find it. I've got it on DVD somewhere, but I couldn't find it.
That's weird that you couldn't find it. Like.
So I'd never seen the 62 one before, so I thought I'll watch that first, then I'll watch the Scorsese one, which was, what, 92, 94, something like that?
Yeah, I think 90, around that time anyway. It's definitely the early 90s, wasn't it?
Which is one of our favourite ever films.
It is.
But I tell you what, I made this think watching this one, because one of our favourite films, because we like quoting Max Cady, Robert De Niro's Max Cady, who's got loads of hilarious lines and the way he delivers them, so over the top. And but it's not very nice, is it? Like, I don't think we should be laughing at the subject matter. It's horrible.
Oh, well, so what? I mean, the thing is about this story is, you know, the star of it is Max Cady, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Despite the subject matter and how awful and terrible he is. He is, he's the pulling power, isn't he? You don't want to, I mean, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't really want to watch just Gregory Peck's character all the way through, would you?
No, he's
in a courtroom drama. You know what I mean? But Robert Mitchum's just unbelievable every time he's on the screen, much like De Niro is as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, great. Like in the way they talk, obviously De Niro's took some bits and pieces of it and some of the words. Yeah,
it definitely has. I mean, there's a lot of the things that he was saying, and obviously the accent he's using as well. Yeah. I mean, I think De Niro like ramps it up.
He does. He hams it up even more for sure. And he's more. I think Robert Mitchum's is more sinister because he's not so overtly like out to get them and shouting at him all the time. He's a bit more subtle, I think. But also I not think, subtle in what he's trying to achieve, which I think is what's really, really good about it.
I mean, it's good to compare the two, isn't it? Because obviously this is 1962. And I think the reason that Scorsese remade it is because a lot of it was cut, like a lot of the violence in it was cut out of this one. And there's obviously, you know, Max Cady's a rapist, but they never say that word, do they?
No, they never really.
Because they can't. It's always Max Cady's attacked a woman. That's what they say.
It's quite like obvious. Or maybe it wouldn't have been that obvious then, or maybe, I don't know. But it's horrible. His intentions with the young girl and the that lovely lady in the car.
lovely lady.
I mean, she's wonderful.
Wasn't she a model or something? A Playboy or Playgirl, Playboy bunny or something been. Like that? I was reading. She's not.
Anyway, you answered she could have been if she wasn't. Have you got a synopsis of it, Brett?
I have, but it's like
down all the rabbit holes.
It's a terrible synopsis. It's a sentence. I didn't really have a lot of time because I got in late today. But here we go. Anyway, a lawyer's family is stalked by a man he once helped put in jail. And that's it.
Oh, bloody hell, Brett. You've done better than
bloody hell. I could have done better than that, but I didn't have time. But there you go. I mean, that's it anyway. In a nutshell, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it is. So it starts with Max Cady, doesn't it? Like, it's all about Max Cady.
It does. It starts with Max. I mean, it looks fantastic, this film, doesn't it? It looks amazing. It looks
beautiful. So have you seen who it's directed by?
Yes, it's directed by J. Lee Thompson.
And do you know his other
English
work?
Fella. He did Guns of Navarone, I think, didn't he?
And Ice Cold and Alex, which I've never seen, but I always love the name of it. in the 50s.
I haven't seen that one.
And then he did this. But have you seen what he did after? He had a very close relationship. Planet of the Apes one? He did two Planet of the Apes, the fourth and the fifth, I think.
Right.
And he had a very close relationship with Charles Bronson, the actor. If you have a look at his body of work, he's done about 50 films with him. I think he did Death Wish 4 and then loads of other like stuff like that.
So he took over the Michael Winner mantle, did he? Uh-huh. Funnily enough, Robert Mitchum hates Charles Bronson. I was reading that about him today.
Do you? Okay, I don't know that.
Yeah, he just hated him for some reason. There you go. But the film, it's black and white. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And it opens with Max Cady going into the courtroom where Sam Borden, who's played by Gregory Peck's working. And he's just kind of sitting watching him, isn't he?
Yeah.
With his hat.
Yes.
He's never got that hat off.
No, he's got a great hat. And in the Scorsese one, it's a different hat, isn't it? He wears like a boatman's hat, Robert De Niro wears. This is like a straw, like summer hat kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's great because he's. I also love his shirts and he's dressed.
I mean, one of the shirts that I like is where he's at the docks and he's got like the sailor shirt on.
Yes, the sailor shirt's amazing. Yeah, I love it.
So that's good. But the remake, De Niro's got kind of Hawaiian shirts and stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah. He just, again, he like ramps that up a little bit as well, doesn't he? Kind of floral loud. He's not hiding, I think, is the main thing, isn't he? He's like, especially in that version, he's quite happy to be seen. And be very obvious.
He wants them to know that he's there, doesn't he? Because that's the whole point. Yeah. He's trying to intimidate them, isn't he? Mm-hmm. But straight after that particular scene, Gregory Peck goes to his car. And this is like exactly the same in both films, where Gregory Peck's sitting in his car and sort of Mitchum comes and grabs the keys out of his car.
Yes.
Turns his car
Nick Nolte in the 92 version.
It is. But they almost shot for shot that.
They are. And it's also that he uses the same score. So as soon as it starts.
Well, look, the score's amazing.
Even though I hadn't seen this version before, the score comes on. It's that really over the top. Loud,
it's like, unbelievable. The music,
it's brilliant. Well, who's it by again?
It's Bernard Herrmann, who did Psycho and stuff like that. So,
so Psycho, like Taxi a year Drama. Earlier or 2 years earlier. And Scorsese actually he doesn't just replicate, he uses the exact same score. So, I'd heard this before, and it's this, and in the 92 version or whatever it is, it's so over the top because you're not used to this melodramatic. Kind of score, are you like you used to get in the 50s and 60s now?
Yeah,
and it really stands out. But as soon as I saw this and it came on, oh wow, okay, it's just I get it, I get it,
yeah,
it's amazing. And then that first couple of shots is like you say, pretty much shot by shot remake, the one that we know better. And it's interesting having watched and being so familiar with the later one. I'm not a massive Nick Nolte fan, so I think Gregory Peck plays the kind of straight-laced character who's losing it gradually, like losing his grip on whether he can remain calm. I think it's it's better with Peck.
Because he does kind of he lashes out, doesn't he himself, Gregory Peck? Which I don't really think Nick Nolte does. Nick Nolte's a kind of pathetic character in the remake, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I get from him. He's having affairs behind his wife's back and all that kind of stuff. But there's none of that in this particular version.
No, he's like a proper upstanding fella, isn't he? And he's held, he's a pillar of society or whatever. And I think this, and the police are like doing what he says, and he's because they respect him so much. And I think you're right. We don't get that in the later one. Another thing we should say is the same actors are in both films, which is amazing from Scorsese, I think.
Yeah, well, he's good at doing stuff like that, isn't he? But they're playing different characters in the remake. I think the main difference as well from the start is that in the 1962 version, it's sort of Gregory Peck has witnessed Max Cady committing a crime, Whereas that's not the case in the remake. In the remake,
he actually buries the
evidence.
Him, right?
He prosecutes him, but buries evidence. Just he could get him off. And Robert De Niro, who plays Max Cady in the remake, has realized that in prison. Yeah. And that's why he's out to get him type thing. Yeah. This one's just like straightforward, right? You know,
so he gets sentenced to prison. He sends him to prison, even though by the letter of the law, he probably could have been not proven.
Well, if he had
beyond a reasonable doubt, if he had
done his job properly,
he should
in the remake, he shouldn't have been sent to prison because he buried the shoes promiscuous or something like that, and he didn't put that in the evidence. If he had done, Max Cady wouldn't have been sent away or whatever.
Yeah.
There's not that kind of, you know, ambiguity in there.
Well, there's a little bit of ambiguity because basically in this one, says he sees Max Cady with a young girl who's screaming and shouting to get away. And Cady says, "You never actually, nobody saw me do anything to that girl." And he goes down regardless because it's just he's found guilty of doing something. But I think it's still a little bit like it because Gregory Peck does say he didn't see that happen. He just knew he was a bad guy and he had to get locked up. So a little bit, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit more on the nose in the remake, isn't
it? Yes, definitely.
It's also based on a book, which I have listened to on my travels, called The Executioners. And obviously that's a lot more violent. Yeah, it's very similar, apart from the fact that Max Cady is a soldier at the start.
Okay.
And they wanted all that cut out because they didn't want people thinking that soldiers were rapists.
Okay.
That's why it's not in this one. And obviously it's not the remake either. But yeah, I mean, it was a while ago that I listened to it, but yeah, pretty much standard.
So the score, the black and white, the shots, the fact that you don't really, like the way the camera works, the way it's edited, the way you don't really see the violence happen. Or
like Psycho,
bad stuff,
isn't it?
Very much like a Hitchcock film, like Psycho. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that.
There is a reason. I mean, I don't want to spoil my quiz at the end, so I don't know if I want to tell you that. But the director was a massive fan of Hitchcock anyway. That's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. But there's also another one. I'm not too sure how true this is, but we'll find out in the quiz, Cliff.
Okay.
Anyway, so there you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he liked the way that Hitchcock shot those films where...
He's a massive fan. He's a massive fan of Hitchcock.
I mean, and that's also one of the reasons it's in black and white, because it could have easily been in colour. But he said,
isn't it refreshing to watch a film in black and white, something like this?
You know what? I forget just how much I like watching old films, and especially black and white ones. And I thought this when we watched that bank heist film, the Hammer one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just enjoyed it so much, and I loved it. I loved how it was shot and how it felt. And I don't watch it enough. And I used to love watching this kind of stuff, and I just don't do it enough anymore. I'm always watching.
It almost makes it look more professional, doesn't it? If it's odd to say that. I doubt when we were like 12, 13 or whatever that would say that. But I didn't know.
I think part of it is it's less naturalistic. I think there's more of a realism as you got into the 70s.
Yeah.
More of a use of realism and more naturalistic in the way things were shot and the way actors performed. And certainly now with the difference between film and digital and all of that kind of stuff, things look totally different and the way people act is totally different. So I think one of the things when you say it feels professional, I think when you watch films from that era that look like this, you know they're a film, you know there's a movie being made, and every shot and set and the way lines are delivered and the performance is part of a construction that you're meant to see and be impressed by. And I think that, for me, that's the difference, I think.
And it all, I don't know if it's just me that thinks this, but it also brings you into the film a lot more, for me, than a colour one. I mean, I love me colour hammers and stuff like that, but the black and white ones, I don't know, there's just something about it. It draws you in,
I think. I think so. But yeah, I So I'd never seen it before. Thought it was great. The story, pretty much the same as the one I know and love. I think Robert Mitchum is just absolutely wonderful as this character.
He looks just, like he could he could lose it at any moment.
But the thing is, he's the way Max Cady is he's calm about it all, right? Like he's trying to just rile this guy so much that he loses it and he loses his mind, and he's doing horrible things to his pets, his family, his work life, to try and just keep turning the screw and make him like angrier, and he's losing stuff. And
but he's just so menacing, Robert Mitchum. I mean, there's a scene where he's arrested and they make him strip.
Yeah,
and he's puffing out his chest and all that kind of stuff. It's great. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, it's just so class.
And obviously,
the other thing I was going to mention, because I was a massive fan of the remake. Like, yeah, I'd watch it all the time, same as you. And I remember saying to my dad, well, what's the original like? Because he told us that, you know, it's a remake. It's based on another film. And he went, oh, yeah, it's a really good film, that one. Robert Mitchum just wanders around an island with a stick. I thought, oh, I might watch that then. And he doesn't really. There's only like one scene at the end where he's got a big stick.
Yeah.
But that's how my dad explained the film to us. That Robert Mitchum just wanders about with a big stick.
I think the thing is, like, he's being painted as a monster, and you know the things that he's doing are monstrous.
He's definitely
things.
A monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, your lovely lady who he's got in the car, that bit where he's got her in the hotel room.
But that's the only bit horrific. Where you see that until the very end.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what's great about it is how he presents himself is, I'm a helpful guy. I'll help. I'll cooperate. All of that kind of shit. And he's like, and he makes a complaint against Gregory Peck for harassment and all of this kind of stuff.
It's because he's been learning law, isn't it, when he's been in prison, and he knows the law now, whereas he didn't before. And it's like Gregory Peck, his whole life is the law, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got this guy who's just come out of prison who knows as much as him about the law. And he can't get him that way. That's why the tables turn, and Gregory Peck's got to start doing nefarious things, like getting, you know, people to beat him up and that.
There's two amazing bits. I love the beating up bit with the blades. I like
the chain, the big chain.
Yeah, the big chain, because that's proper like the Wild One kind of stuff, right? The way they're dressed and all of that. It's great.
Yeah.
It feels a bit out of time for 1962. But anyway. Two
heavies at the beach.
Yeah.
That's what they are, heavies.
Under the pier. But under if you look pier, at the credits, it's like Blade 1, whoever. Blade 2, whoever. Two bits of love.
Mm-hmm.
One, I love, well, not necessarily a bit, but I love Max Cady's lawyer. He's absolutely classic.
Because
he's obviously doing his best to get a bad man off. You know, prove his innocence or whatever. And he's just one of those unscrupulous types. And I love the bits where the two lawyers are talking to each other, because it's one of those things where they have to have a normal, courteous conversation in the courtroom or whatever it might be, because they both do the same job. And I just love that relationship between Gregory Peck and him. And my other favorite bit is the bit in the bar where he tries to pay him off. That scene is probably one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen in cinema, I think. I absolutely love it. And and one of the main bits is he calls the barman Buster. but that bit where he says, well, come on, give me a number, how much is it? And he's like, well,
he's
what are
talking
you
about? It's similar in the remake, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's talking about what will, you know, a year of me life equate to in monetary like value.
Years, what value do you put on 8 years? And he's like, okay, $10,000 now, $10,000 then, $10,000 and once you've disappeared or whatever. And he's like, that works out to less than $3,000 a year, counselor. I don't think you've heard of the minimum wage. Like, I don't think you've heard of the minimum wage. I'm like, wow, that's fucking class. He's just worked. It's not a hard calculation, but he's like,
yeah,
it's not even worth the time if I had a job and I've lost all my life. So like you say, Katie's a bad guy, but actually he feels like he was wrongly put away and he's right to get this revenge on him. And because he's the main character in the film, you're kind of there with him, even though he's a horrible guy.
You kind of are until the end, until he starts like going fucking crazy and slapping people about. I think it's pretty similar in the remake as well, because it's the same thing with De Niro, isn't it? He shouldn't have, even though he did these things, you know, Sam Borden's the lawyer and he should have done his job, shouldn't he?
Yeah, ultimately, and he's the one who's
his morals being naughty. Shouldn't really have come into it. Exactly. And he sent this fella away. What did he expect him to do? Just come out and just be fine about it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Obviously right, let's not. Take a break.
You can't mess with Max Cady.
You can't mess with like Max Cady.
Exactly.
Let's take a break and we'll be back in a few minutes. See you soon.
Okay.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
My friend Shane sent us an article about a man who went to another dimension and got a new Beatles album. Have you heard about this?
I don't operate in the conspiracy theory world.
Yeah, apparently he's got a new album. It's called Everyday Chemistry. Apparently it's the 13th Beatles album. So, yeah, he went to another dimension where there's purple ketchup, Cliff.
Okay,
that's what there is, and he listened to that. Apparently you can listen to it in some way. I don't know, I think it's just a mashup of other songs and the man's full of shit, obviously is, because I don't think it's possible to go to other dimensions, is it?
But there you bring go. It back with him or what?
Yeah, yes, he's brought it back with him and stuff like that. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. It was a final album, not just a different album.
It's like there was 12, wasn't there, so this is the 13th.
So in another dimension, they had the exact same career until the end and then brought another album.
Yeah. Don't forget about the purple ketchup. That's the thing. Apparently he was walking his dog and then the dog ran off or something like that and he chased after it and he knocked himself out. And he was found by an interdimensional traveller named Jonas. It would like help him out in that. And then he discovered like a new Beatles album. Wonderful stuff, isn't it?
Incredible. Reminds us a bit of that.
It
woman
is incredible.
From the alien program that shouted at us because of the KFC.
No, Cliff, she shouted at you.
It was a joint.
In fact,
Brett, I'm not being funny, but. You broke up so much there that all of that stuff you were saying bad about is, I'm not sure what happened there, but it was, maybe he's gone to another dimension. I think what happened was the cosmos took over, and when he was saying bad stuff about me because of that woman with the KFC and the aliens, the cosmos decided not to let him say it.
She didn't shout at us. She shouted at you. Didn't you? Because she said that I was a very nice man, but your colleague, on the other hand, he wants to have a word with himself. I think he called her a fucking crackpot. Hey, you noticed that? I don't know if you noticed this, but like we did that when it was just some random thing. And it's on fucking Netflix now.
Oh, is it?
Aye.
Anyway, was there anything else you wanted to talk about with this film, or do you want to crack on with the quiz?
I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think Robert Mitchum's class, but I think he is, especially in Night of the Hunt. If anybody hasn't seen that particular film,
what a great opening sequence that film, to that film.
He's just unbelievable. And the quiz is pretty much about Mitchum. A couple of them.
I don't know
Peck.
That much about him, actually.
So, yeah. What do you think's better? What do you think is better, Cliff? Do you think this is better, or do you think the remake is better?
I think the remake is more enjoyable, more quotable and vibrant, but I think this is probably a more impactful, longer lasting. I think it's a bit more insidious. Is that the right word?
I think
Robert Mitchum's performance gets under your skin a bit more. And I think Gregory Peck's character, Borden, I think his reaction to him is a little bit more believable, or a little bit more dramatic as well.
What I would add to that, Cliff, is the daughter. The thing that I prefer about this film is the daughter thing. Because the Juliette Lewis stuff is just, it's not nice, is it?
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. That's
the book
other
and
bit.
All that kind of stuff.
That's the other bit that we haven't mentioned, is he goes after the daughter, which is horrible. Yeah. And with Juliette Lewis, who, let's face it, is a grown-up in that Scorsese version, although she's playing a teen. And he's, I think we're alone now. And he's, all of that. Yeah. Apparently she was genuinely scared.
Is it Nexus
like that,
for the Sexist or something? The book that he keeps banging on about.
Apparently she was genuinely scared at that bit, like they filmed it in that dark theatre and stuff like that. But the daughter in this is like genuinely a child, isn't she? And that's awful. And there's that line where he's watching them get on the boat. And
it's
horrible. And he's like, she's almost as juicy as your wife.
I know, that's absolutely horrible, that, isn't it? And that's where he snaps and punches him, isn't it?
Yeah, he punches him, and then he's like, hey, I'm just standing here. Do you see him? I came out of nowhere. But that the use of that word juicy is awful. But he's pushing his buttons, isn't he? And he knows he'll snap. But I think that's the main difference, is that is genuinely what really paints this version of Mask Skady to be more of a monster, I think.
Yeah. I think overall I prefer the remake, because I'm such a De Niro fan and a Scorsese fan.
Yeah, well, same.
I think.
You see that quote about Mitchum and Gregory Peck?
I've seen a few, actually. Which one are you referring to?
Maybe it's in your quiz. Let's do the quiz and let's see.
Let's do the quiz. Yes, let's do the quiz. So it's a mixed quiz, this one, about Mitchum and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a mixed bag. at the age of 14, Robert Mitchum was convicted of what and sentenced to a chain gang?
What? Really?
I have no idea, but I was
going to say theft, but like, seems that would be extreme.
It's a good guess. It's actually a crime that he's accused of in this particular version of Cape Fear. It's vagrancy.
Oh, it's vagrancy, yeah. Okay.
One of the first actors to be arrested for what in the 1940s? That's Mitchum. He was one of the first actors to be arrested for what?
Communism.
No, good guess. It was marijuana possession.
Oh, really? Okay. Didn't know that.
Yes. Good. Apparently, he smoked dope throughout his life. Good old Robert Mitchum. Gregory Peck was considering retirement before appearing in which 1976 horror film?
Halloween?
Now, I know you haven't seen it.
No, not Halloween.
Oh, and he's not in Halloween, Cliff. If I said Damien to you,
oh, the
would
Omen,
that help?
The Omen, yeah. Oh, yep.
I can't hear you. You bring up here like Max Headroom.
I'm getting them mixed up with what's his name in fucking Halloween.
Honestly. Oh yeah. Right, yeah, well, it's nothing. Anyway, Gregory Peck did some sort of deal or whatever, almost like Schwarzenegger did or Jack Nicholson on Batman, where he got like a cut of the profits, and it was like the most money that he'd ever made on a film, so there you go. According to Collider, who knows what that is? I haven't got a clue.
No idea.
What is the best remake of all time?
Is it Gus Van Sant's Psycho?
Wait till the next question for that one, Cliff. No, it isn't.
Best remake. Miracle on 34th Street?
Afraid not. It's my favourite film.
The Thing?
It's The Thing, yes. So there you go.
Okay.
Right, I think you might get this one, next one right then. And what was the worst remake ever made?
Oh, really? Gus Van Sant's Psycho with, is it Vince Vaughn and Anne Hesh?
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, that's correct. Have you seen that film?
No.
I've seen, it's, I don't understand. It's shot for shot the same film. What is the point in that? With different, what is the point?
And in colour.
It's Gus Van Sant saying, I'm exactly the same as Hitchcock.
But he hasn't.
Do the same stuff.
But he's not, is he, because he's copying?
Exactly. It's ridiculous. it's the stupidest film I've ever seen in my life. I mean, crazy. But yes. So that's the worst one. Okay. Last one. This is the question I wasn't sure about, Cliff. Right? But it's on the internet. So
must be true.
Exactly. Which director storyboarded Cape Fear and was originally going to direct it?
Well, apparently Alfred Hitchcock, but I'm not sure how true.
Exactly. That is supposedly the right answer, but I'm not too sure about that one.
Mm.
Well, there you go. Certainly, look, both films look like a Hitchcock film, don't they? The remake and this one.
Yeah. Absolutely. What I was going to say is because this film was made by Gregory Peck's production company, so he paid it. Apparently, bankrupted him.
Yeah, it did. That's what I was going to say.
So it obviously wasn't a success. But apparently, he was furious at Mitchum, and Mitchum saying, "Yeah, acted him off the screen." And he was like, I can't believe it. Like, I paid him out of my own pocket to do this film. And I took the boring role and give him that role. And now he's like bad mouthing us around saying, like, I'm terrible. And he's the man. Like, quite good.
But, I mean, Mitchum's a very complicated character, isn't he? I've watched him. Is it Carlson, the interviewer in the 70s, who interviewed John Lennon and stuff like that? I've watched like interviews with Robert Mitchum. He's talking about like when he was sent to the chain gang and all that kind of stuff. And he's just a strange character, isn't he? I mean, he's the imposing man. He like smoked pot throughout his life, drank throughout his life, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's just a strange guy, but an interesting guy nonetheless. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I really like him. And he didn't like sort of saying that acting was for him, really, or like he wasn't trying at it or whatever. Yeah. He's like a cool guy, isn't he? Who's like not really trying. You know what
good
I mean?
Though. He is.
But
good.
I like him.
Of course, best role is in Scrooged.
We've got music this week. It's from Matt McManaman and it's called Told You Before, and in brackets, I Won't Tell You Again. We've all been told that off one mother, haven't we, Cliff?
Yes. And also we've done this.
And it's out today.
well, it's a good song.
Spoil the illusion. It's good.
Yeah, so we'll leave you with that and we'll be back next time with something else. Cheers, Brett. See you later.
Whoa. They're just full of way. Show me a bright new day. Told you before, I will tell you again. Far as the eye can see, you dig out the dirt in me. Told you before, I will tell you again. Make it, break it out, you're gonna take it all. In the heaven hand. Told you before, I will tell you again. Sit on a stranger's fence. To you it makes perfect sense. Told you before, I will tell you again. Make it, break it out, you're gonna take it alone. Boil down. Told you before, I will tell you again. Told you before, I will tell you again. Told you before, I will tell you again.